come now to our second
scripture lesson. This time we hear from the prophet Isaiah about the future of the household of God, where we will meet with God and hear God's instruction to us. This comes to us from the book of Isaiah in the second chapter, beginning with the first verse, where we hear, "The word of Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord.'" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are in a new season of the church year. Today is actually like New Year's for the church. It's the first day of a new year. And what do? At this new point, but begin to prepare for what comes next. This season of Advent is a season of preparing. We often think of it as a season of preparing to receive a baby, but it's more than just that. However, I have learned a little bit recently about what it is to prepare for the arrival of a baby. My family welcomed a baby, ours named Eli, about 8 weeks ago. And while we certainly began our preparations more than 4 weeks before his birth, we increased our preparations significantly as the days drew near. Now, the same may be true for us in our spiritual lives as we are preparing to receive God among us at Christmas. The season of Advent is 4 weeks long. But we may have begun our preparations, at least in a low-key way, a long time ago. We may have been preparing ourselves to receive Christ for some time through things like small group studies, Sunday school classes, attending worship, spending time doing daily devotions, talking to God in prayer, and other spiritual disciplines that we have been making our regular habits. Now, however, during this season of Advent is the time to become more intentional in our preparations. Just as you would do some intentional cleaning of your home or living space to prepare for a guest to arrive, so too we do some intentional cleaning of our hearts and our life's space to prepare for a guest to dwell with us once more, preparing to receive Christ again this Christmas. Our time of preparation and getting ready, this season of Advent, is all about doing some work. Work on ourselves, work to get ready with our hearts and our lives, getting right with God in the ways that we each need. So as we travel through these 4 weeks of preparing to receive Christ at Christmas, we're going to use a guiding theme of a gift exchange. We have already received and continue to receive a great gift, the gift of God with us, Emmanuel. And we receive that gift every year again at Christmas. But we also receive it each and every day, for God is with us each and every day. With us in our day-to-day lives, in the mundane and the ordinary, not just the extraordinary. And even though we have been given this greatest gift, the gift of unequaled and unchanging love of God through the presence of Christ and the witness of the Holy Spirit, we don't come to this gift exchange empty-handed. We have something of value that we can offer. In general, that is ourselves, who we are to God's work. But as we talk about each specific gift in this gift exchange, we will talk about something that we have to offer. This morning, we're going to talk about receiving God's gift of peace and offering our gift of obedience. So as we seek to receive the presence of Christ this year, we're going to look at each of these four gifts that are up here. This one is the gift of peace. You can see it on the tag. This morning we talk about the gift of peace, but we will have three more gifts that we explore as we draw nearer to Christmas. As we receive this gift, we remember that all of God's gifts are always freely given. They are without price, and they are for us. However, we honor and glorify God when we work towards the same vision that God has. And a part of that vision was laid out in our scripture lesson today from Isaiah. Isaiah tells us that God's house is going to be built on earth among us. This is a prophecy that Isaiah hears and sees for God's people, that God is going to be established among them, and people will flock from all over to go to the house of the Lord, to where God is giving out teaching and instruction, and many will eagerly seek it out. I would count us among those numbers. And the people of the earth, we hear say in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God, of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and we may walk in his paths. We hear that it's from the Lord's house that we get this teaching, this instruction, that we hear God's very word. And the purpose of receiving this instruction and teaching is for our benefit. Because when we choose to honor God with our gift of obedience, Isaiah tells us that we will know the gift of peace. He tells us this in verse 4. The Lord gives instruction to us with the anticipation that we will obey, because he says there is a time coming for the judgment of the nations. Those who have learned and heard and lived the word of God, encapsulated in the command to love God and to love our neighbors, will be judged as righteous. But those who have not heard and learned or lived the word of God will be counted as those who have done harm and injury to others and themselves. Here, Scripture uses the imagery of nations at war with one another, of those who pick up spears and swords and wound each other. Now, you may not have a spear or a sword at your house that you pick up and use against someone else. But, friends, there are ways that we certainly wield weapons and wound others. Let me give you a small example of what that might look like. We've all done this in some way or another, so hopefully you hear yourself and it's not just me who's done all of these things, but I think we've probably all sent some sort of message, maybe it was a text or an email, a phone call, a face-to-face interaction, where we sent a message that we didn't mean to send. Or maybe we did mean it. and it was wrong. Maybe it was that time you drafted an email to write out all of your anger, and you accidentally hit the send button when you meant for it to only live in your drafts folder until you deleted it. Maybe it was the time you told a story or spoke a sentence out of spite. Maybe it was that time that you had your cell phone inadvertently dial someone, like a butt dial, and the person on the other end overheard hurtful gossip. Or maybe it was the time you sent a text message to the wrong person and it came with consequences. Please tell me I'm not the only one who has ever done any of these things. All right, I will take your smiles and nervous giggles as affirmation that we have all done things along these lines. These can be spears. These can be swords. They can harm others. But they don't always have to end up that way. Let me tell you the story of Wanda Dench, who did one of these things that we have all done. In her case, it was sending a text message to the wrong person. But because she was walking in the light of the Lord, it ended up being a moment that built up God's kingdom. You see, Wanda is a grandma. A grandma who thought she texted her grandson an invitation to come to her house for Thanksgiving dinner. Except she sent her text message to the wrong number. It wasn't her grandson's cell phone number that she typed in, but that of a stranger. Jamal Hinton is the name of the teenage boy who received this text from not his grandmother. In fact, he texted Wanda back to say, "You're not my grandma," and asked her for a selfie, a picture of herself, to prove his case. And once he received it, he sent her one of himself to prove that this was the mix-up he was claiming. But he took it a step further. He sent her another text asking if he could still get a plate of her food at Thanksgiving, because he didn't have plans. At that point, Wanda had a decision to make. Did she wield sword or plowshare over this texting mishap? Wanda chose a plowshare, responding, "Of course you can. That's what grandmas do. Feed everyone." Now, this happened a few years ago, and Jamal certainly showed up at her table for Thanksgiving dinner and has for the last few years. In fact, it's become part of Wanda and Jamal's tradition to dine together at Thanksgiving, even though they now live a couple of hours apart. Their relationship began as a mistake, but it has brought them peace and hope and joy and love that they would have never known otherwise. They love sharing their story of their Thanksgiving mishap because it inspires others to faith and hope and peace and love and joy. It all happened because Wanda practiced obedience to the commands of Scripture to love and care for her neighbor, walking in the light of the Lord, practicing obedience, choosing to widen the table, to welcome a stranger, to add another place setting at the feast of God's kingdom, is our gift to the world this year as we wait for our guest, who also happens to be our host. Now we're going to have a foretaste of the heavenly banquet feast this morning as we wait, as we prepare, and as we practice our obedience to Christ's command to do this in remembrance of me. When we practice our obedience to God, we find that we are blessed in turn with the gift of God's peace. It may be the sort of peace that quiets our racing hearts. It may be the sort of peace that stills our spinning minds. It may be a peace that expands our relationships a peace that conquers our fears, or even a peace that soothes our conflict. By submitting ourselves in obedience to God, we begin to unwrap our first gift of the Advent season, the gift of God's peace. Thanks be to God. Amen.